Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat. Thank you for joining us on today's show. We're going to be talking about the March 28th launch of Age of Triumph. We're going to be talking about the new raids that are coming back, and we're going to be talking about all the things in the 13-page record book. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella on my left.
Hey, Guardians.
CJ Gibson on his left.
How's it going? Well, that sounded weird, but okay.
Hope you're all having a great day. CJ likes it when I can't do the intro.
That's good. I like it. It's awesome.
So, guys, the big launch happened. We're getting Age of Triumph on March 28th. Old weapons are coming back. Armor sets are coming back as ornaments. Are you excited?
All this old stuff is finally back.
Yeah.
It's been released and it's back, baby.
What's old is new again.
They are changing it in some ways.
This is where you smash cut to, like, the billion episodes we talked about how badly we wanted this.
And updated raids.
I'm excited. I mean, it's not just that it's coming back. It's that it's modified and it's back.
Yeah,
this is new content. Yeah. Twisted. Mm-hmm. It's twisted content, maybe.
We're going to get new armor sets with ornamentation, meaning that we can kind of change the look of it. Let's start with the raid topics. So you can do all the new raids again. It's going to be a weekly rotating event on the directory.
That. Yeah.
And you can go into a featured raid. The first one's going to be Dark Below, actually. The one that a lot of people thought was not coming back. I'm really excited. We did get a look at the armor set also. It looks pretty cool.
I can't wait.
We saw the Vex set. We saw a little bit of Vault of Glass gameplay. And they're changing them a little bit. They're fixing some of the problems. Like, Oracles took forever in Vault.
Yes.
They're adjusting that.
Yeah.
You guys excited? You're stoked,
I am.
Right?
Yeah, I like how they refer to it as a director's cut. That was a smart way to do it, to just kind of say, this is not necessarily the exact same thing, but modified tweaks in a way that, you know, we heard your previous concerns about some of those raids again. And it's nice that there's something a little bit different and new about it. It's not the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about that. The fact that it wasn't all this time just, look, we haven't gotten around to it. It's that they didn't like some of the stuff in those raids, and we didn't either. And now we are able to, you know, we'll see how it turned out, but we're able to go through these a little more efficiently, smartly. So I'm really excited to see what those changes are. The way they said it, too, is they're not really going to tell us everything. They showed very little amount, and they're like, look, we like you guys to go out there on moment one and as a community, figure out those changes. So,
which is super cool because now everybody's guessing what are the challenges. Like, and you're going in your mind, you're like, I wonder if it's going to be pushed Templar off a cliff. Yeah. Obviously, it's not, but it's funny to think
of
those things.
Challenges on top of the changes.
Yeah.
Right? So I think just so there's total clarity, right? First of all, you will either, I don't know if it's day one or at some point, you'll be able to play all the raids at your leisure. Mm-hmm. But the weekly challenges.
It's a 390 version of the raid.
Yeah.
And it has all the challenges activated.
But in other words, you can always go into any of the raids you want, right? But there's a weekly event with rewards, I assume, right?
Correct. So the weekly event, the raid's at 390. The regular event, it's at like 370 or something. So only that week you can do all the challenges. They said they're going to be giving you a ton more than they normally do. So it's going to be a little easier to get ornaments and the armor and drops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right. I hope that's accurate, because if you remember the Vault of Glass days, where yes. you for a year you just played Vault until you got your helmet.
Fatebringer.
Fatebringer. Yeah. Speaking of weaponry, Vex is coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We're going to talk about that this coming Wednesday, about what they're going to do about the weapons.
Yeah.
You brought up the challenges. What do you think they're going to be, CJ?
So it's funny. When I was looking online, I mean, everybody remembers the old cheeses that you used to
eat.
They're joking about that. But it's like, I'm not 100% sure. I think for the – if we're specifically talking about
With Vault.
Vault of Glass, I would say for Atheon, I think there's going to be something to do with everybody needing to carry the shield once or something to that effect. If we're talking Crota – same thing. I mean, you know, obviously more than, but it depends on how much damage it takes to kill them. That's the other thing, right?
The obvious one for Vault is don't let the Templar teleport, which increases the amount of mobs that
they've already done.
Make it more difficult.
Yeah,
not a challenge.
Not in a challenge.
But I mean,
but
as an objective. So I think it's an argument to be made that it will be a brand new concept.
And they
what did that do that opened a chest or something.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
There was that, but it just was. Well, it was harder to do, but it made it easier to shoot him, right? Because he never move.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, I would say that is the same way they did. Is it the Nexus strike where you would sit up top and snipe him? I would imagine they're going to do something along the lines of you have to get down and like fight the oracles on ground level. They pretty much alluded to that.
Well, they might have gotten rid of because remember
they're just going to put probably your enemies on the ledge or something.
They'll just teleport you down.
Or teleport down or something.
You don't know the oracles are there anymore.
Well, they pretty much said you're shooting oracles still.
They showed us shooting oracles. So.
But meaning that, did they show that first stage though? I don't remember that. Meaning
pretty sure during the gameplay that they showed oracles and they brought up oracles. They're like, we reduced the amount of time for oracles because you'd be sitting there waiting forever.
Yeah. But the point is you shoot them during the Templar phase, but there's also, remember the pre-phase where you're up on the ledge with the icebreaker. That's what you're referencing.
Yes.
I didn't remember seeing the pre-phase in there. Yeah. You literally like write the countdown and everybody finding it. And it was that's why you had to have Icebreaker.
Yeah, they didn't want
you
wiping.
So you didn't have to go down there. But I'm actually hopeful that's one of the things that like it's not that fun.
No.
That segment is incredibly long.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like that part of the raid is just like a freaking roadblock. And then it's all traversal after that.
Yeah. And that's what it seemed like they were specifically talking about that like content when they mentioned director's cut.
Yeah.
Like they actually said that terminology and then even were like, you know, it would suck to wipe at the end when you're one away from damaging the Oracle because you had no ammo. And that's happened a lot. Mm-hmm. So,
is there a favorite part of the raids, all the raids, that you can't wait to see what they've done with? They did bring
I got to say one step at a time, but I mean, absolutely Atheon. Or by the way, in the trailer, the guy it's the classic Destiny voice, but he has, you know, more of an English accent. He said Atheon. Blew my mind, by the way.
Oh,
go back and listen. An Atheon. And I was like,
no,
that's really what it is? Because in the trailer, he says Atheon. Putting that aside, I think Atheon, I will continue to call him. So whatever they did around that.
Take that, Bungie.
Yeah, I think it's the most interesting.
You don't know how to pronounce your own names.
Yeah, I think most people, the first thing they're going to say is the jumping platform puzzle.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to twist it up because they know it's favorite, but I'm going
to
say.
They did say they're going to force everybody to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my first flawless was Vault.
Wow.
Which is the hardest one to do it on.
I still don't have that, actually. Yeah. I was trying it with Lovebree and a few other people were like, hey, let's do Crota because I could do that.
If you want flawless, you need to do it now.
I know. It's like, I got to try to do
point.
That. Before. I am excited for those for that middle bridge section in Crota. I feel like there's a moment there where it's like everybody pretty much, you know, I just grabbed the sword and jumped over the bridge most of the time and never
flew, you mean?
It flew, exactly. And I've never still probably to this day actually did it right.
Really?
And prior to that, you'd get somebody jumping out of the level and then sniping the enemies from across the map. So there was always
They're gonna fix that.
Yeah.
Of course they are, but it's like what are they actually gonna do to make it fun again, but then also not allow people to do some of those things that I mean, again, for as much as I played Crota, 90% of the time I've done it that way.
I'm really, really surprised, Fran, you have not said Oryx yet. Oryx is your favorite raid, at least that's what you've told us.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what they do with those mechanics because Touch of Malice doesn't work anymore on those encounters with the bubble shield thing that people used to do. It's going to change it up.
It's funny you bring that up because I haven't even processed because to me, Taken King is still so close in terms of my mindset. Like, honestly, that raid was so massive and spent so much time in there. And then I spent a lot less time in Wrath of the Machine. And I like Wrath of the Machine. It's great. It's tight. It's smart.
You're in
it's
and out.
Beautiful. But meaning I spent so much time. I was like, I didn't even think about there's changes in there. I'm not as excited to go back. Like I liked a lot of what they did in Taken King as sort of, I always say it was, convoluted isn't the word I use, but it's very eclectic in sort of how each challenge goes to the next. They don't always tie together. But yeah, good point. I'm like, if there's a whole new way to take down Oryx, that's going to be really interesting.
There are a few parts in there that could probably be tweaked or improved a little bit, but for the most part, that's a pretty solid. That's probably one of their better raids.
Right. But again, they didn't say the they're like going to go in and change the raids. They said they've changed things. Right?
Director's cut.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. But again, like we don't know, like it might be minor, like you're saying, like they've done something to like the bubbles or the.
I'm scared about the 390 version of that raid.
How hard it's going to be. I mean, Oryx in general was a long raid. So just trying to actually think of what they could do to shorten that, like that is a. When you compare it to the other two, you can almost run Crota in about a half hour.
Yeah, no, taking
some minutes. So yeah, Taken King was a long, long raid.
You have a full week to run it three times on your three characters.
I got
to
do it.
You have three characters.
Yeah, definitely.
That's another conversation. We're going to talk about your Titan. There's a Titan page.
There's a note on
here. For you.
Yeah. Let's get right into it. So one of the other items that we're going to be discussing today is the record book. There is a 13-page record book that's being included with Age of Triumph. And some of the items on that record book include character-specific pages for Hunter, Warlock, and Titan. Fran,
that's right.
You have a lot of shoulder charges to start doing.
I do. I got to catch up on those shoulder charges. So if you have not caught it, I had three Warlocks because for me it's very mathematical and I want gear out of these raids. I do it three in a row. I was one of the first actually in Wrath of the Machine that I saw.
Prior to Infusion. Yeah. Because this is the reason you did that prior to
Infusion. Even after, I was one of the first in Wrath of the Machine to have the hard mode shader because you have to get a complete set. Mm-hmm. So I like the benefit. And there's some people who still have that, right? I would just want to defend us and explain because there's a lot of people who are like, are you crazy? Why would you do the same thing over and over? But there's a benefit to the gear drops. And there still will be some effect, right?
Dump them over.
Think of it. If you're chasing these gear sets, I kind of have a benefit and I'm torn on what do I do? Do I like start a Titan on Xbox, which someone joked about, and keep my two locks because that's my main PvE class, or do I just break one down and start a Titan? Anyway, so you have to do certain things in the Age of Triumph book.
With each class.
With each class. But they did make it clear to say, look, there's going to be stuff in that book that like we don't want you to feel like you have to complete the book.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. We don't know how that plays out yet.
Well, when they talked about that, they specifically were talking about Trials of Osiris.
Exactly.
Because there's stuff in there like Wrecking Ball, which turns out I actually have when I was very happy to see, where they're very difficult to get. Not a lot of people have that particular medal.
Yeah.
So they said, hey, look, to complete this page, you don't need to do all this stuff. You only need to do like six or seven. I think they said seven of the circles. So a lot of it's like get about 25 revives or whatever in Trials of Osiris. So for me, when I hop in, I have one of each character. That's how I played since the beginning. And each year I picked a different class to run with. And I think my book's going to be pretty far along. Not all the way done, though. There's still going to be plenty for me to do as a player like that. What about you, friend? Do you feel overwhelmed now that you have a whole character page?
I feel overwhelmed because of the vault. I feel overwhelmed because there's just story stuff that I've talked about a lot. Like, I don't have the year three Thorn and Icebreaker, actually.
On any character?
No.
I don't either.
Is that in the book, though?
We don't know that. But what I'm saying is
that 55 exotics was one of the book things.
Yeah.
I don't know how many there are. Totally.
But you get my point. Yeah. I think there's certain quest lines, and Destiny has suffered from that over time. There's likely to be. It's happened in every one of these moments of Triumph type record books. There's stuff that you kind of got to grind out and do. And it's good that it's launching now because basically, right, they're giving us more time. There's a lot to do if you haven't done it. And so good news is, I do stream Destiny all the time and I play all the time. Mostly just been playing Trials, but now I can go back with a purpose and there'll be, I think there's some entertainment to like, I'm going towards something versus before it was like, I haven't gotten all three, exotic swords, right?
Yeah.
And I've wanted to, but I started and I was like, I've already beat Wrath of the Machine. I don't have Dark Drinker.
Go get the Relic Iron.
And I want it, but I don't want to go on that grind.
You don't want to grind to 500?
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't want to bring that up, CJ.
Well, it is one of those things where initially when we were talking, it's like I kind of don't mind the grind. I feel like the chasing of that new number would have been cool. The way they explained it makes sense to me, like everything at 400 and just being able to do new raids. And
you mean that's a punishing concept without new storylines?
No.
We've seen many cutscenes. We haven't seen that aspect of the Age of Triumph stuff yet, but there are cutscenes that they're using in the trailers, and I think we are going to get a little bit of a cinematic story.
That's true.
A little bit.
But yeah, totally different. Yeah, there's like new cutscenes and stuff. I think absolutely. Yeah.
They're not new. I think they're going to be modified cutscenes. Like you speak with the speaker apparently at one point. That's what it looks like anyway. Yeah. And that could have been a reused asset from year one.
Yeah, the people were wondering about that with the Vex and seeing that a few weeks back too. You never know if that stuff's going to be.
I think that.
Well, that was old concept art. If you're talking about the video.
Yeah.
That's just an old concept that wasn't used.
It doesn't mean they can't repurpose it.
Exactly.
Finish it, right?
For maybe this. Yeah.
But I do think it's viable. You know, I don't know what rating to place on, but it's viable that, like with Wrath of Machine, we saw that very short Aphrodite cutscene.
Yeah.
I think it's very viable. There might
that be. That was not cool.
But, like, think of the first time, whatever you
ever. I like the cutscene, but, like, that, it's like, hey, I'm Aphrodite. Hey, cool. Welcome back.
See you later.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah.
That's really
pretty
it?
Pretty much, yeah. This is our
hey, Salad, remember me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, oh. You're
I miss
alive?
You.
Yeah. It's like, what's going – and we never get
– so are we still okay or
– There it is. I was waiting for you to do it.
Can I call you?
Like, we thought there was going to be a week-to-week romance there. Didn't pan out.
Yeah. Will they
I was so
they
hoping.
Yeah.
It's like them at dinner.
Exactly.
What do Guardians eat? They never eat.
That's a great question.
Where we go with this?
Glimmer paste? I don't know.
And now we know that – we can have bionic limbs and all this other business.
The ornamentation
as well,
from the new raid gear.
That
and it
looks
like
very cool.
Do you think it's going to be one raid set with multiple ornaments, or do you think it's going to be multiple raid sets with two ornaments
it's,
for classic look and new look? They did say all new helmet.
Yeah.
The old weapons are coming back, but we'll figure out on Wednesday about how they're going to handle elemental primary.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a raid set with two ornament slots for each. Like, that's the way I interpret it. Yeah.
Original and new.
I know, that's what I mean. I don't know if there is, like, can you get the old ones anymore, or is there, like, a new – or do they look exactly the same and then there's two ornamentations on top of that?
Well, why is there two
What if it's one set and you get a different piece?
That's what they said.
What if it's a new set, you get a different piece from each raid, and then you have ornaments, and you can make it look like any of the sets that you want? Old set,
Wait,
new weird set.
Mm-hmm. I didn't catch this in the stream. Or did they confirm there are two ornaments per each set?
They didn't confirm how many ornaments are on each set at all, but they did say using ornamentation you can change the look of your armor.
Right,
yes.
So which we know we can do today. We've already done it. But like meaning maybe – I had understood it. We were talking about it, right? And I was like maybe you're right. What we were – it sounded like we were talking about was you'd have the default set that you still get.
And then with an
it's
ornament,
not
going to
change
the
ornament
look.
Though. It actually highly modifies it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's where I was like wait, I'm going to get a freaking robot leg just by plugging in an ornament slot. But like, why not? So maybe it's just one ornament set, right? You have standard, and then you plug one in, you have this like decked out Triumph. That's what I thought is how it would work.
That's
but
what
didn't
I think
they say
also.
Two slots though? Because you think about the weapons, right? Like Icebreaker is Icebreaker
it is.
As is, and then there's two slots.
Two
that's true.
So that's the way I interpret it as there'd be three looks.
So you have your default set,
there is.
Yes,
and then you have your Vogue set.
Yeah.
What would let's say you have your default Vault
is
class
the Vogue.
Set,
default
and then you turn on an emblem, and it's the crazy one.
Yeah.
And then you what's
Triumph.
The other one going
to
be?
But that's my point. Is
not
like
sure.
Why do we
yeah.
like you? They have two Triumph. Slots. You know what I mean? Like, what's the purpose of that next slot?
I think we're going to find out more on Wednesday.
Of course.
Yeah,
It's obviously just exciting, but I hadn't considered that there could even be two ornaments per thing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
What if you got to redo Oryx?
That,
what if you do redo Oryx and you get an all-new set for the challenge mode with ornamentation? What does ornamentation look like on Oryx? It's going to be cool.
Totally.
Yeah.
But, you know, and CJ, you know this well. Like, Trials, right? It's got one slot.
Yes.
That's what I expected. Was it?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
does the raid gear today. So that's the assumption I'm making. That's why I think that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember if they said because weapons have two. So that was the reason why I thought that I heard them say that potentially they're going to have two for
but armor sets.
The armor
never
sets.
Have,
so no.
I actually don't think that. There's a lot of work already being put into this. I would really be surprised. Not that I don't want it.
I know. And it's super cool either way because
I want three, actually.
Yeah.
three or four.
I would love it if it was one set and you just pick how you want it to look because that. The only reason I say that is because one thing they're not doing is adding vault space or a kiosk.
So that was my next
That's
statement.
A problem.
Yes, and they pretty much said that it's not going to be added. And that
no,
was
they definitively
confirmed
said on Bungie.net,
not added.
Not adding vault space.
I know.
So
but it's,
one
it's
of these days,
issue.
I need to
yeah.
go through and just infuse
it
and
all.
Get rid of everything.
Yeah. And everybody
I
was,
can't do it.
I know. Everybody was joking with me because I have a bunch of like, I have Faithbringer and everything.
Oh.
Like, you know, 170 or 150 or what it was. The issue is now you delete that stuff to make room for the new stuff and then it's totally gone. And you do. But right now where I'm at is it's full. So playing those raids and waiting for those drops, it's going to be the same thing.
Deleting in the raids is going to be an issue for some
people. It's going to be huge.
You're going to, oh, guys, I got, they're wanting to move on. And you're like, wait, I got the helm. Let me, I got to delete my old one. Oh, it's on my other character. Let me use dim. I'll move that over and delete it if you're hoarders like CJ. Yeah.
100%.
But, which they exist.
Yeah.
So let's say you get your Fatebringer, the new one, but it functions differently than the old one. Are you going to delete that old one?
Yeah. I mean,
you gotta let go. Okay. I can tell you.
You can still use that in Crucible, though. Like, there's some raid weapons that are actually viable in Crucible, so it's just like, I don't want to get rid of the 170.
Yeah, so you won't see that. I feel 99.999% certain because they're going to balance the new Fatebringer. Well, it's got to accept the new hand cannon balances, etc. They're not going to have two different versions of that. I'm not.
Will it be an elemental primary? Probably not, right?
I don't know. No, I think people are saying
I hope so.
Yeah.
Why not? Who cares? Like, seriously, at this point, how does it affect the game balance?
I mean,
to be fair, the special ammo stuff, it's a mess right now in Crucible.
It is.
And I think they need to reevaluate.
Yeah.
Elemental doesn't, like, it's not a big deal.
They think it's a big deal. It's not
for
about what we think.
PvE?
We don't think it's a big deal.
For PvE.
For some reason, they just don't like elemental primaries. They got rid of it with
Aetheon. No, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to reason, like, okay, just give me an example. Where is Aetheon's epilogue going to break PvE?
Skolas. That's where they started thinking that was a problem.
Yeah. But the point is, we're already 400. You can crush it. So, like, okay, if you bring light levels up, maybe it's different.
They are bringing everything
up. You know what I mean. I've only got 3 or 4 months left with this if all goes well. So, like, you know.
Yeah, the Arcburn primary thing, that was a big issue. That's what I would say that mission at Skolas was one of the reasons why they probably reassessed.
Oh,
those
good.
Things.
So for one thing, that not that many people played. We destroyed the whole idea of.
Hey,
elemental.
let's talk special ammo. Well, yeah, I mean that's what they do. They look at some of the details and they go, "Hey, we don't want this to happen anymore," and they literally nerf special ammo. Now
could talk sandbox. I feel like they've been too reactionary with. The entirety of the sandbox updates, there was a time where everything felt pretty good.
Yeah.
And they just freaked out, and they've been trying to get it back to a place of stability. And right now, it's not great. Multiplayer is kind of messy.
I disagree with that a little. Like,
you like only using sidearms?
No.
All the top weapons used are all weapons that circumvent the special ammo adjustment.
Exactly.
Because it's either you don't have special ammo – or you have a weapon that circumvents it.
No, I don't like
it. They need to fix it.
I was saying when you said the sandbox was good. Like, I totally, you're right. I was mostly happy. But let's face it, whether it was snipers or shotguns, there's always something that's been pretty annoying. Or it's like we're stuck with pulses or we're stuck with autos. There's a ton of balance to be done. My point is, I was just going to say, I think they're very aspirational about, like, we can figure this out. It's a lot to play with. And they tried to do it. And it's really annoying that sidearm is, like, the only thing that carries ammo. And that's all I've been using, and I'm, like, crushing with it, which is great. But then, like, that's –
great that I learned how to use my sidearm.
Yeah, but everybody –
I have no other viable option.
Yeah.
My other viable options are Invective, which I think generates ammo, Icebreaker.
Invective is not an
issue. And shotguns are a mess right now.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Like, that's where it's, like, really annoying that they've broken it. It sounds like that sandbox update's coming, though.
I really hope that we at least get one more major sandbox update.
Oh,
and
yes.
Do you think – so this is the last major update for Destiny, the last content drop that they're doing. Is that it? Are we never going to get sandbox updates?
No. I think sandbox updates will still happen. And it was nice that they addressed that. Like, I mean, I heard a question, and basically, I think it might have been the streamer in the FAQ. Like, Destiny 1, they're supporting for a long, long time.
Yeah.
They made that an actual bullet point to say, hey.
That means that servers will be online. Does that mean tweaks will be made?
I think it's one of those things, especially right now when you have all this new kind of content being generated and especially new weapons coming into the meta at a higher light level, they will continue to tweak for the next few months. And that's the reason why a lot of these new weapons that they introduce each time, they need to see how it plays out. So again, after March 28th, if there is, you know, elemental burn in the primaries or however that works, there's going to be another new patch update in the next few months for
what
sure.
What did they do with Halo 2 since you played so much? Like, after Halo 3 was out and all that, did they go back and sandbox update it?
There was a player who stayed online for like a year after they shut down servers.
Yes.
He kept Halo 2 alive. Yeah. Him and a whole group of players.
I remember seeing his gamer tag. I would log on and like, no way. Because I tried to stay online for like 15 hours after, and I was like, and I remember seeing my last game at Coag, and I was like, no, and they turned it off. But it's different with Halo because basically the meta of the weapons never changed. There was no introduction of new
weapons.
There
were no tweaks to Halo 2.
I see, there weren't really like patches to how the weapons worked.
There was one major patch like a year into the game, but then after that, they didn't.
But that's mostly for people who were hacking the system.
Okay. It was like, a combination of DLC and balance. Yeah, there were not new weapons introduced into the game that changed the meta completely. And that's where Destiny, like everybody says, oh, we were playing a beta. It's like, no, legitimately, they're introducing new weapons that change the game every 6 months. So this is another one of those moments, especially on March 28th, where they're going to redo it again after once they realize how this affects the game.
But I was going to say, though, I actually don't think it'll be too heavy. Like, I think there will be some patch type stuff, but honestly, like, they're very data driven. They're, you know, looking at all this stuff. They need to make the Destiny 2 community happy now once that comes out. I don't think you're going to find too many major updates at all, really.
Not major.
Like, meaning, I think it's what's done is done by call it. If it's July or August, if there's any more, like, you know what? We did tweak shotties or whatever again.
Yeah.
That's going to be basically it.
And yeah.
That's the game you're going to get for the next 2 years or 10 years or whatever you want.
For sure. Yeah. If there's no new introduction of weapons or anything like that, yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
I cannot wait to see the next update on Wednesday and the one after that and then get my hands on it. I am really, really excited about Age of Triumph. And I'm really happy that they did this. Scott teased this to me way – like they're like, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
I think that's the most –
I remember that. Remember Germany.
You were there. I think
– Yeah, we were all there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been kind of knowing something was coming.
Yeah.
But – it is not a vault space solution as
they also teased.
No.
So yeah, that's why honestly I thought it just had like kind of died in the fire.
Yeah. Vault space is not, I'm pretty sure it says on Bungie, it's done. There's no more storage solutions for Bungie One.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was in the FAQ.
I'm not thrilled about it, but we will live. I only feel that way because we're so close to the next one.
And I'm
honestly,
once, I'm really again, excited.
We've been doing it on the show lately because we're getting pretty anxious, but like once you see those trailers, man, for the next one, I don't think we're going to be too worried about where the changes are to this one.
No,
CJ will, but other than him.
CJ really loves games, and he really appreciates the – what a team is built, and you, from what I've gathered about your personality, like you don't like to let go of Halo 2, even when Halo 3's out.
No,
you want to play like a game with a community that you've sort of fallen in love with.
Yeah,
stick with it.
And I will say, just from looking back, like we all hope that Halo 3 would be what Halo 2, an evolution of that. It was very different.
And I loved Halo 3.
And Halo 3 was still good, but it's funny that the iterations of the game and the different types of things that you do within the game change how the community feels. So there is something about the Destiny community right now, and even playing on the Bungie Bounty, which we'll talk about in a little bit, it's like those moments right now exist because the game is very popular still after 2+ years. It's got a huge following. It's a lot of streamers and all that stuff. So hopefully this carries over, and I'm sure it will. But there's always a different feeling that when a game is released, you have expectations. Sometimes they're met. Sometimes they're not. And it just changes sometimes.
You know what, CJ? Let's talk about community right now. So last week we actually did something called the Bungie Bounty. Now, this is an event where you can come play against a Twitch streamer or YouTuber, or IGN last week was the bounty, actually. And we all got together and played against the community, and it was awesome. Thank you to everybody who came out to participate, to hang out on youtube.com/fireteamchat. It was a ton of fun. I had a blast. You guys wanted to mention some people specifically who we played against.
Oh!
And I just want to bring up that I did really well, better than CJ.
Stop that, Destin. No, you didn't. we all had an awesome time. I mean, oh, CJ. I mean, I don't know. How does that happen? That's what I say to Fran all the time when I'm playing. Like, oh!
There's so many names that came up. They don't maybe know.
Yeah, so the context is we were playing, and it was the first few rounds, actually, I think, when we were not doing so well. We were trying to shake off the cobwebs.
We sorted it out.
Yeah,
we
maybe a little nervous in those first few rounds. But
Fran was.
Of course he was. But this guy named OCJ, in the last probably 2 minutes or a minute and a half, we were up by, I think, 300 or 400 points, about to win. And he got a golden gun, and he tweeted me the video. He crushed our whole team.
But he saved it.
He did, but
and
he saw
was,
it.
Yeah.
He was already
crushing, to be fair. Like,
it was a really close game, though. Like, we weren't getting dominated. It was like,
it was like
a 100-point game the whole game.
It was
an awesome round.
It was. What I meant
by
that was,
I love matches like that.
Yeah, that's good.
This guy, OCJ, was doing so well that, like, meaning once he popped the Goldie at the end, I was like, yep. But he knew, meaning in other words, he knew they were going to win.
Yeah.
He was holding on to it if he needed it. But like the truth is, we were not winning ever. Like I remember
your call outs. You're just kind of like, golden.
Yeah. I think I just,
I'm like, did you like, just, Friend's yeah. like, I just lost the game for us.
And I was in the same boat. I was sniping down the range. I was like, okay. And then boom. And I was the last kill. And I'm like, oh,
I'm like, just run away. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But,
it was
but,
fun.
But yeah, the point is we had a ton of fun. This is the first time, we've been just part of something like this, I think, at IGN even, I would say. Yeah. Like, it's kind of a very community-driven event. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Deej and the team about this, and, like, we're IGN. You know, we reach hundreds of millions of people with the brand, and so we're looked at as – I mean, we are the press, right?
Yeah.
However, we also – we play this game as the community. We are fans. Yeah. We are the community. And so it's interesting to finally be a part of that, and it was great to hear from, you know, everyone directly that they didn't know we were streaming, Destin and I stream. You know, we put a lot of extra hours into the game because we truly enjoy it, and it was just nice to see the community come out. So thank you to Bungie and the whole team over there for having us be a part of it. It was awesome. It was
really and special shout out to everybody who joined us on youtube.com/fireteamchat, twitch.tv/thedestin channel. Tons of people in there. Thank you so much. And a special shout out to my mods, Xavier, Clay, everybody who was in there helping that night. It was very difficult because it was much larger than sort of anticipated. So thank you guys for being hands-on.
What was the number of views? I think at one point in time I looked and it might have been like around 900.
That was different. It was above that across all the channels.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. It was really good. It was super fun.
Friends. Yeah, I should mention
FM3_.
Yeah, leave anyone out. I'm at /FM3_ on Twitch. And yeah, like the future, one of my main mods. Thank you very much. you know, you do such a great job. But obviously, we had Michael Lovebury and Click who had to come into our chat. We had four
and Champ
chat
was
countdowns.
Champ was doing YouTube.
Exactly.
And the future, of course.
We're going to leave people out inevitably, but thanks to everyone who helped support us and therefore support the whole community out
Michael
there.
Michael and Click it for helping do the countdowns. Yeah, jeez.
I will say one last thing. We did have a teammate that we all, I guess, got dyslexia and didn't refer to his name properly. We called him Macaroni in the stream. We'll just call him Mac for short. But there was one round where he totally dominated. Well, it was all our faults, but I think we all said it at least
once. DJ's fault.
Yeah, whatever. But it was like, I think he got like 28 kills one round. Yeah. And then when I'm winning, I was like, okay.
There's a couple.
When we got it together and we were like communicating well, but like I noticed like we would panic sometimes and we would all spread out. And I'm like, stop doing that. Our method's working.
Yeah.
And then like everybody would kind of.
Yeah.
We've taken total credit. I kept
there you together. Go. Yeah. It was destined.
I knew he had a point.
Yeah. I'm great. That's all I wanted to say.
But no, I was happy we didn't get crushed, but I was happy when, you know, the other team won, honestly, because they get emblems.
Yeah, they get the emblems, and that's so cool. You're going to get those in about a week from when that event took place. So if you did win or you participated, thank you, and you should be hearing from Bungie soon.
Yeah, it is normal. It takes a few, so if you're freaking out.
We want ours, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I didn't even realize
we don't have
them, so I'm happy
that's
to
awesome.
Hear it, because I've chased a few and I haven't gotten
me
yet,
too.
So, I can't
so that's the reason why I wanted at least one win, and I think we did not too bad. I think we got like 5 wins.
I think we won more than we lost.
Yeah, I think it was
all right.
Close,
we can get some extra hands in
here. That's right. Yeah.
There you go. It was good. It was fun.
So, any final thoughts about Age of Triumph, the community? I am super stoked about what's coming for Destiny. Destiny 2 is on the horizon. We have a great send off for Destiny 1. I'm pretty happy with how it's wrapping up.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I had an awesome meal and there's a killer dessert on the way. Like, I feel like, honestly, you know that feeling when you're like, you know what?
Destiny 2 the dessert?
No, the 2.5 years we've played has been a great meal. You know, we had some appetizers there with the beta and the alpha. How far do you want me to take this?
I want to know where this analogy is going.
Yeah, pretty good, isn't it? Anyway, but I do mean that. I feel very, like, satisfied already. Like,
are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm hungry, by the way. Why isn't this? This makes perfect sense. But meaning I truly mean it. Like, I'm very happy with where I've been with these games, despite all the vault I want or the balance I want. But I'm very excited for this last tray of dessert. That is Age of Triumph.
Dude, go get a
But my point is where I'm going with this analogy, because I've been setting it up. You keep interrupting me, is I'm ready for that next big meal. Destiny 2, meaning I'm ready to, like, you know what I mean? I'm ready to move on is my point. So
wow. I mean, I don't know how to follow that.
Sorry, man. I think it makes perfect sense. I hope it does.
The funny thing is, I remember an old Vidoc, I think, where Luke Smith used an analogy.
Did he really?
Yeah, he's like, no, but multiplayer is your main meal. I'm like, we're talking about food now?
Wait, I didn't know if that's it.
I will say that, I do like the record book. And for all those people who are initially going, oh, trials, you know, it shouldn't be in there. I like the way they implemented it this time where
you don't have to get everything.
You don't have to get everything. Because I was saying that the last time, the reason why I thought it was good to have in there to go to the lighthouse is that is a fundamental experience of Destiny. It's the same thing with completing a raid. It's the same thing completing with, like, you should do those things. Even if you get carried or even if you don't, you know, like playing those type of games, I think it's cool to do them. So, yeah, really, really excited. And wondering if it's going to be a flux grenade or a magnetic grenade.
Oh, yeah. Bring on the stickies. Don't get me started.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Get 100 stickies in trials.
If you see Fran in multiplayer, shoulder charge him one last time before he makes his fight.
Do it.
Here's how you
please,
really get
me. Please do it. Please stream deleting your warlock.
Yeah.
Oh.
You got to be really good. You got to sticky me, and then I get shoulder charged in the middle of it.
And then you blow up.
By the way, there's a part of the stream where legitimately, I'm pretty sure two people coming at me with shoulder charge. They teamed up.
I think they knew
it
who
happened.
You were.
I got to find that clip. It was like two people, like, they were coming.
Yeah.
It's well
when
known.
When you say you don't like something, what do you think's going to happen, Fran?
Everybody, if you know and listen on the show and find me, you're going to be stickies and shoulder charges. So. Yeah. Great. Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem. I mean, you hear you in the chat going, no! Like, Fran just got a shoulder charge.
If you're crash, man. Yeah. Ethics. It's one thing if it's a joke. But if you actually play the game that way, that's a whole
I want
other
a shoulder
episode.
Charge.
Oh, that's man. The whole other episode. So.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for this chat. And thank you to everybody listening for joining us. And we're going to do the outro now.
Great. I'm ready.
Yeah, you ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.